Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, May 25th, Pope Francis reaffirms the Church's teaching that abortion is never the answer to unborn children diagnosed with disease or malformation. Cyril Ramaphosa is sworn in as president of South Africa, and Caritas is helping Syrians to rebuild their lives after a devastating civil war. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis today addressed participants in a Vatican conference entitled Yes to Life, Caring for the Precious Gift of Life in Its Frailness. The conference was organized by the Dicastery for Laity, Family and Life and the Heart in a Drop Foundation, which works to welcome children born in conditions of extreme fragility. The Holy Father said abortion can never be the answer when an unborn child is diagnosed with malformations or disease. He said a throwaway culture considers these children as incompatible with life, as Sean Patrick Lovett reports.
Pope Francis told conference participants that no human being can ever be incompatible with life. Every child is a gift that changes the history of a family, he said, and this child needs to be welcomed, loved and cared for. The Pope went on to speak about modern techniques of prenatal diagnosis that can detect the presence of malformations and diseases from the first weeks of pregnancy.
La certezza della malattia cambiano il vissuto della gravidanza.
Often, the mere suspicion of disease, he said, can change the experience of pregnancy and even risk throwing women and couples into a state of deep despair. Yet, the Pope continued, the evolution of every disease is always subjective, and often not even doctors know how it will manifest itself in the individual. Pope Francis described children in the womb who have pathological conditions as small patients. Advances in pharmacology and surgery have reduced the gap between diagnostic and therapeutic possibilities, which for years was one of the causes of voluntary abortion and abandonment of care at the birth of many children with serious diseases. The Pope also spoke about the role of doctors. The medical profession, he said, is a mission. Doctors should be capable of entering into a relationship and of committing themselves to always finding solutions that respect the dignity of every human life. This is especially important in the case of children who are likely to die immediately after childbirth, said the Pope.
Prendersi cura di questi bambini aiuta, infatti, i genitori.
Taking care of these children helps parents to process mourning. That child will remain in their lives forever.
L'aborto non è mai la risposta.
Abortion, said Pope Francis, is never the answer. Human life is sacred and inviolable, and the use of prenatal diagnosis for selective purposes must be strongly discouraged, because it's the expression of an inhuman eugenic mentality which deprives families of the possibility of welcoming, embracing, and loving their weakest children, he said. Pope Francis concluded by thanking those families, mothers and fathers, who've welcomed fragile lives and are now supporting and helping other families. Your witness of love, he said, is a gift to the world. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
In South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa was sworn in as president today, promising to create jobs and root out corruption. His ruling African National Congress, or ANC, party won 57% of the general election vote earlier this month. Pope Francis sent a telegram of best wishes to President Ramaphosa to mark the occasion. In it, the Pope prayed for the gifts of wisdom and fortitude, and that Ramaphosa's service would foster peace and reconciliation in South Africa. Separately, a high court has decided to wait 3 months before releasing its ruling on whether former South African President Jacob Zuma will have to face trial on long-standing charges. He is facing allegations of corruption, racketeering, and money laundering. Godfrey Kampamba has the details.
Former South African President Jacob Zuma will hear in 3 months' time whether corruption and other charges against him might be dropped. Pietermaritzburg High Court judges have reserved judgment on his application for a permanent stay of prosecution. No date was announced. Zuma was president from 2009 until 2018, when his African National Congress party forced him to resign amid corruption allegations. He is accused of receiving bribes related to a 1999 arms deal The charges were raised more than a decade ago and later withdrawn, then reinstated after court ruled that there were sufficient grounds to bring him to trial. Zuma asserts that his case has been prejudiced by long delays. The prosecution says his legal maneuvering caused delays and there are no justifiable reasons to halt his prosecution.
The United States has announced it will send 1,500 additional troops and a dozen fighter jets to the Middle East in the coming weeks. The Pentagon says the troop movement is meant to counter what it calls an escalating campaign by Iran to plan attacks against the U.S. and its interests in the region. Elsewhere, Syria's civil war may be over, but its people are still facing food shortages, destroyed homes, and a hard-hit education system. The Catholic Church's local humanitarian arm, Caritas Syria, is present throughout the country and is working to meet these needs. Riyad Sargi, the Caritas Syria's executive director, spoke to Linda Bordoni about the current situation there and the most pressing challenges.
The situation now in Syria is getting better, except some hot area, let's say like Idlib now and the eastern part of Syria. But the other cities, now the situation is getting better.
Caritas must have a huge task before. You have over 3 million people who are outside the country. You have camps and a lot of reconstruction. How are you facing it?
We are doing our best to help the poor people. Unfortunately, the majority now in Syria are poor people. Our duty to help them in this war, this very dirty war. We distributed our office almost all the cities in Syria, and we have 250 employees workforce Caritas Syria to cover the majority of the Syrian land. In each region there is special demand, and we follow the demands of each region to create dedicated projects for this region.
Would you say the main needs are at this moment?
In some area, the main needs still humanitarian needs like food baskets and NFI and so on. In the other part, medical also, education, some services for elderly people, because a lot of now elderly people lived alone because a lot of children left the country and nobody to support them. We created a special volunteer from Caritas people to support them in their life. And we have medical then, education. Now, very recently, we created some small project for livelihood project because this is the future of Syria. In some area now, the situation is good and we have to shift to livelihood projects and so on.
During the war, the international community was very aware of what was going on. Now, perhaps, it stepped back a bit. Do you still need the international community to provide assistance?
For sure, we still need, because the demand is very huge in different sector and we have to try to help.
That was Riyad Sargi, the executive director of Caritas Syria, speaking there to Linda Bordoni. In Somalia, a severe drought is on the verge of affecting over 2 million people, or one-fifth of the population. The lack of rainfall is causing crops to fail and livestock to die, putting livelihoods and even the identity of pastoralists at risk throughout the region. Justin Brady is the head of the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Assistance. He says the Somali people are resilient and don't easily accept outside help.
We had come into the year with a forecast of an average long rainy season, what is called the goo season here. Unfortunately, due to the cyclones in the southern Indian Ocean, the rains were inhibited from moving north, and the forecast has radically changed to a much more negative outlook for the season. With an initial failure of the rains, we're seeing some localized rains now, but much of it coming too little too late for the agricultural sector in the country. The estimate now, though it is based on a hopeful prospects for rains in May and June, which again are not materializing, is that we will climb to 2.2 million people in crisis and emergency as far as food insecurity goes. We're seeing these erratic weather patterns that are synonymous with climate change in Somalia, leaving people in the worst situations. A single mother-headed household displaced from her village, not just by drought, but also insecurity having an impact on that. And she's come to the outskirts of Mogadishu, settled into an informal settlement, and is now reliant. To know Somali people, they are not ones who freely accept charity, and it's difficult for them to be put in a position where they are reliant and dependent on others for their well-being.
Briefly, in Venezuela, a riot in an overcrowded prison killed at least 29 inmates and wounded 19 police officers on Friday. The incident took place at a cell block in the town of Achiriga in Portuguesa State. A local official said the violence was caused by an attempted escape and resulting fighting among rival gangs. He said detainees detonated 3 grenades, wounding the police officers. Human rights groups have laid doubt on the official version of the events. And finally, Pope Francis today greeted a group of the faithful from the Byzantine Rite Eparchy of Lungro, which encompasses over 30,000 Italian-Albanian Catholics spread throughout Italy. The eparchy this year marks 100 years since its foundation by Pope Benedict XV. Christopher Wells has more.
In his address to pilgrims from the Eparchy of Lungro, Pope Francis recalled the courageous spiritual journey and the fidelity to tradition despite difficulties and sufferings of the Italo-Albanian community. The exodus of Albanians to Italy took place mainly between the 15th and 18th centuries. Their continued presence in Italy for more than 450 years led Benedict XV to erect the Eparchy of Lungro in 1919 in the wake of the First World War.
Questa importante ricorrenza costituisce un'opportunità.
This important anniversary, Pope Francis said, is an opportunity to thank the Lord for what he has done for the community over the course of so many centuries. The Holy Father encouraged Italo-Albanians to preserve their own proper traditions, as well as their sense of belonging to Christ and His Church, as a form of bearing witness that love is more beautiful than hatred, that friendship is more beautiful than enmity, that fraternity among us is more beautiful than conflict. The remembrance of the past led Pope Francis to recall the memory of all those who have transmitted the faith to you through their lives, even before they taught it in words.
In particolare, penso ai vescovi, ai sacerdoti, ai religiosi, ai genitori e nonni.
In particular, he said, I'm thinking of the bishops, priests, religious, parents and grandparents who have gone before you and who have faithfully guarded and handed down to you the riches of your beautiful tradition. He called on the current generation to imitate their example and pass on to the newer generations that spiritual patrimony that gives them their identity. Finally, Pope Francis invoked the maternal protection of the Holy Mother of God.
Laudegitria.
The Greek word means she who shows the way. It's a Byzantine representation of Mary pointing with her right hand to the child Jesus.
Vi renda sempre più docili alla volontà del Padre.
The Pope prayed, May Mary, the obedient servant who has accepted the word of the Lord, make you ever more docile to the will of the Father and make you generous instruments of His plan for salvation. I'm Christopher Wells.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks go to our sound engineers in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.